Our reading today is Psalms 15. Psalm 15, it's on page 549 of the Church Bibles. Psalm 15, a psalm of David. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose way of life is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken.
Thank you very much, Johnny, and thank you very much, Charmaine, for reading so clearly. Please do keep your Bibles open on page 549, Psalm 15, so that you can check that what I'm saying is, in fact, what God is saying to us today. Who is qualified to live with God? Imagine a spectrum of everyone who has ever lived, people like Mother Teresa, or even Adolf Hitler, the very best of humanity to the very worst. Who is qualified to live with God? Where would you draw the line? I wonder if you've ever thought about this question for yourself. Are you qualified to live with God? On which side of the line would you put yourself? Most people would draw the line just underneath themselves, perhaps thinking, oh, I'm not perfect, but I'm not that bad either. And if you were deciding, who else would qualify? Anyone who does more good than bad? Anyone who has sincerely tried their best? Anyone who thinks of themselves as a fairly decent human being? All over the world, there are many different claims of the right path to God. Lots of people love the idea of spirituality, but with so many voices saying so many different things, how can all these ideas be right? Who really is qualified to live with God? In our passage today, David wants to build a house for the Lord. As he reflects on this, he is inspired by the Spirit of God as he asks, who is actually qualified to live with God? Look down with me at verse 1. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? David is thinking about who can live with God, to take up permanent residence where God lives, who is not permitted simply to enter. It's like a non-British person asking who is qualified to live permanently in the UK. They'll need to have worked in the UK for a number of years or have some other sort of settled status and even learn fun facts about Queen Boudicca to pass the life in the UK test. In the same way, permanent residence with God is granted only to those who qualify. So, who is qualified to live with God? Verse 2 says this. The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart. In short, point one, only a perfect person can live with God. Only a perfect person can live with God. Verses 2 to 5 give us a picture of this perfect person. The three characteristics in verse 2 are walking blamelessly, doing righteous acts, speaking truth from the heart. A blameless person here is totally faultless in every area of life, whose every deed is good all the time, and from whose pure heart only truthful words are spoken. A person qualified to live with God is always faultless, always good, always true. That's the basic requirement. Continuous perfection, not just in deed, but also in the heart. To be blameless, righteous, and to speak the truth from the heart demands more than just an appearance of goodness. The goodness of the qualified person comes from within. If verse 2 tells us about the continuous requirement for perfection, verses 3 to 5 show us what this looks like practically. For the person who speaks truth from the heart, this looks like verse 3. A person whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbour and casts no slur on others. Slander in the Bible refers to deliberate, malicious gossip. It is deliberately speaking about a person's faults to negatively affect how other people view them. Casting a slur on someone is similar. It is using our tongue to discredit or insult someone else. And sandwiched between these two characteristics is the effect of gossip to wrong a neighbour. This psalm makes it clear. There is no place in God's residence for people who gossip. Let's read on. In verse 4, the qualified person is someone who despises a vile person, but honours those who fear the Lord. Despising and honouring here are used as opposites. They are directed at two different types of people, those who fear God and those who don't. At first glance, this verse is difficult. How can it be that living with God requires despising a vile person? Isn't this incompatible with loving our neighbour? The previous verse gives us the context we need. The qualified person must do no wrong to their neighbour. The qualified person should despise a vile person, but do no wrong to them in their heart or in deed. Years ago, whilst I was studying for my degree, I remember standing in a queue and overhearing two guys having a laugh about a Christian girl on our course and how she believed in Adam and Eve. Back then, I was not a Christian, and I was silent. How would I respond now? I hope I would speak up and tell them that I too am a Christian who believes what the Bible has to say. Who knows how those guys would have responded if I'd said that? It is often costly to stand with the one who fears God. Verse 4 goes on. Look down with me at verse 4. The qualified person keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind. It's easy to keep promises that benefit us, but not easy to keep promises that hurt us. Some friends here at Christchurch recently introduced my wife and I to Home Exchange, a platform for organising home swaps, either on a reciprocal basis or in exchange for points. My wife has her sights set on a particular holiday cottage she's been trying to secure. Unfortunately for us, the owner of the cottage has already promised the dates that we wanted to another family, despite them having no points to pay for their exchange. He's generously given them a few weeks to come up with the points, so has declined our request and offers for points for the time being. We don't know how this saga ends, but anyway. This is a trivial example, but imagine someone who always did that. Someone who had a proven track record of always being trustworthy, even when it hurts. So then, the qualified person keeps promises even when it hurts, and this tests the integrity of their character. Look down with me at verse 5. The qualified person is someone who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. This is a picture of someone who refuses to profit from someone else's trouble. The qualified person is not exploitative, not a lover of money, but loves people and upholds justice. A greedy person would accept the bribe over doing good, seeking to pad their coffers at the expense of others. And God will not allow greedy people to live with him, because greed makes it impossible to love people. The love of money takes its place. Now we know the qualification requirements for a permanent residence with God. What does this mean? For the qualified person, verse 5, whoever does these things will never be shaken. The qualified person can be confident they can always live with God. Their position will never be shaken by anything. So, how do we measure up? Any gossip or slander in our lives? Any broken promises? Any imperfection? If you're anything like me, you'll find yourself well below the perfect qualification standard. So what's the point in knowing all this then? If the standard is perfection, what's the point in trying to be good? If only a perfect person is qualified to live with God, does this mean heaven will be empty? Can it really mean perfection? Has anyone ever lived a perfect life? Where does God draw the line with imperfect people? Well, the Bible tells us that there is a man who lived a perfect life, a man who walked blamelessly, performed only righteous acts, and spoke only in truth from his heart. That man is Jesus Christ. Point two, Jesus is the only person qualified to live with God by right. Jesus is the only person qualified to live with God by right. Jesus was always faultless, always good, always truthful. 1 Peter 2 quotes Isaiah, telling us that Jesus committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. In other words, Jesus lived a perfect life. He prayed in Mark 26, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus kept his word to die on a cross, even knowing the immense pain. Philippians 2 tells us Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Jesus did not seek to profit from his position or take advantage of others. Jesus was always fair and just. He was full of grace and truth. Jesus is the only person who can live with God by right. To answer David's question in verse 1, Jesus may dwell in God's sacred tent. Jesus may live on God's holy mountain. God draws the line, and instead of splitting humanity in two, with some people able to qualify and some unable, he draws the line vertically. No one is righteous. By right, no human being can live with God. Jesus is the only person who is qualified to live with God by right. Jesus' life shows us that it is possible for a man to live with God. And the wonderful news of the gospel is that because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, Jesus was willing and able to atone for our sin, failure, and rebellion. So what should we say? If this psalm is about Jesus, does this psalm even matter to us at all? Well, it really matters. Because point three, Jesus gifts believers his righteousness for upright living with God and one another. Jesus gifts believers his righteousness for upright living with God and one another. It really is a miracle that as we put our faith in Christ and accept the forgiveness that comes through him, we are clothed with Jesus' righteousness. Wonderfully, God views Jesus' perfect righteousness as our own. Philippians tells us that those who are found in Christ do not have a righteousness of their own, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Therefore, as God looks at us, it is just as though we never sinned. He looks on Jesus' righteousness and pardons us. This qualifying righteousness is not something God finds in us, but something he gifts through Jesus and then creates in us. Paul tells the Romans that God has always planned for believers in Jesus to be conformed to the image of his Son. And in Paul's letter to Corinthians, he tells us we are being transformed into Jesus' image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. This means Psalm 15 is hugely relevant. It shows us what our lives should look like now that we're on the inside, if we trust in Christ. And the picture it paints is, as we've seen, extreme. If God is looking for perfection, then without him we are really lost. We would never be able to live with him. But wonderfully, the qualified person we read of in this psalm is the very person that the Creator God is molding us into. Because of Jesus, we become qualified to live with God and are transformed more and more into people who walk, act, and speak in a way that pleases him. God is molding those of us trusting in Christ into people who are more and more are controlled, pure in speech, both in heart and tongue, who have wholesome relationships, taking care to love others and their reputation, who are always identifying with those who fear God, keeping our promises, managing our money in a way that doesn't allow it to make us greedy, or to justify harming someone else. And when the race is complete, God's people will live with him in the new creation. Revelation 21 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, the dwelling place of God is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" In verse 1, David asked, who is qualified to live with God? By right, only Jesus. But God desires righteousness in his people, and Jesus gives his righteousness to those who trust him. As Christ's love overflows in us and his Spirit works in us, our walk becomes increasingly blameless, our acts become increasingly righteous, and the words from our heart become increasingly true. And this really pleases God. Jesus is the one who brings us near to him, and Jesus is the one who qualifies us and transforms us to live with God forever. He who does these things will never be shaken. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that your standard is so high and that you demand perfection. The new creation will have no imperfection in it at all. Thank you so much that your son Jesus did live the perfect life and is qualified to live with you. And thank you so much that he does pass his righteousness to us. Thank you that we can say we will live with you. Thank you that we do live with you. And we pray that you continue to transform all of us who trust in Christ more and more into people who are able to please you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.